Hello, I'm Jonathan Earnshaw, Editor-in-Chief of BJS, British Journal of Surgery. First, here's a plug for the BJS special issue for 2018. We asked our Twitter followers for their advice, and they chose Cancer Surgery in the Genomic Era, a topic that the editors are happy to endorse. We're looking for papers on the planning, execution, and patient-reported outcomes of surgery for cancer in the era of expanding genomic data. You have until the 31st of July 2017 to submit a paper, in the usual manner. If you're not sure whether your paper is suitable, informal help can be obtained from BJS office. That's at bjs@wiley.com. We look forward to a bumper haul of submissions this year. Now to the May edition of BJS. This month I'm just going to focus on a few papers, and at the end I'll announce my own personal favourite paper of the month. Textbook outcome is not a concept I've met before. It's obvious, really. The whole procedure goes perfectly, exactly as described in a textbook. First, of course, surgeons actually have to agree what that means to an individual patient. And then, outcomes in the patients are compared with the agreed textbook standard. Authors from the Dutch Upper GI Cancer Unit have completed the exercise for patients having surgery for esophagogastric cancer. They used their national database and found that most patients didn't achieve the textbook outcome, but there was wide variation between hospital. So, before everyone rushes off to start describing textbook outcomes for their own specialty index procedures, I think it's important to show whether this metric actually has a use in improving outcomes, perhaps by feeding back results to individual centres. I should mention this month's free article, On the Future of Laparoscopic Rectal Cancer Surgery by Stevenson from Australia. I'm not a laparoscopic surgeon, but we have our own parallel issues in vascular surgery, with endovascular versus open arterial surgery. Throughout my career, an enormous amount of energy has been spent trying to prove keyhole techniques are better than open surgery. Few really good trials exist, and I take my hat off to those who have done them. My observation is that people get better quicker after keyhole techniques, so patients love them. Surgeons who like the technology are also enthusiasts, and it could be argued, promote the technology, sometimes beyond its evidence base. Long-term results of keyhole techniques are usually comparable, but late device failure is an Achilles heel, particularly in some vascular techniques. And of course, the keyhole techniques are more expensive and require additional training. It sometimes seemed to me that surgeon scientists have spent the whole of my career time trying to make simple operations more complicated. Controversial, I'm sure, but is there any sense in it? Two more for a quick mention before my favourite this month. Many of you may know, I have a role in the NHS aortic aneurysm screening programme. This month, the academic urology group from Cambridge did a meta-analysis to see whether moving the ultrasound probe round to the kidneys at the time of aneurysm screening could find some kidney cancers. Their meta-analysis suggests one kidney cancer would be found for every 1,000 men screened, compared with 10 aneurysms and 8 breast cancers in women, obviously. Not very optimistic when you consider the renal ultrasound would need to be repeated every few years, while aneurysm screening is only done once, but an important study nevertheless. And I really like the observational study from a group of young surgeons led from Birmingham, looking at the evidence base behind some of the implantable devices used in GI surgery. It's only when this sort of study is done that you realise how much there is to learn about many of the devices we use. BJS would be delighted to publish well-conducted trials to improve this evidence base. But the editor's prize, no value whatsoever this month, is a paper that has persuaded me it has the potential to make the biggest difference to clinical practice. Partridge and colleagues are specialists in elderly care from Guy's Hospital. They've done an RCT in vascular patients, doing comprehensive geriatric assessment in patients undergoing elective vascular surgery, and then intervening to optimise those in need. They showed that optimisation reduced the rate of perioperative complications, reduced the duration of hospital stay, and reduced the chance of discharge to a higher level of dependency. Orthopaedic surgeons have discovered this already, particularly for patients with fractured neck of femur. Vascular patients are often similarly elderly and frail, and smart vascular surgeons will start a conversation with their care of the elderly colleagues to share in the management of these patients. That's all for now, and thank you for listening.